Welcome to another episode of the Central Podcast Show. It's literally been about 7 weeks since we've done this, and so we apologize, except for the fact that, you know, everybody deserves a summer break.
It's summer. It's summer. There you go.
So it's been a long hiatus, but we are back, and we are committed to doing this more often. So thanks for joining us. I have two distinguished guests with me today. My name is Matt, by the way, lead pastor at Central Community Church, and I'm sitting beside Jessica Ross.
Hello.
Who is our brand new women's ministry pastor.
Yes.
And it's awesome to have you on the team. Welcome.
Thank you. It's very exciting to be here. Officially.
And now that you're here, we get you to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Stick a microphone in your face and make you
quite
podcast.
Literally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right in the face. Yeah.
And according to Jordan, be very, very close. So there you go. We just got the tip. And then also, Jonathan Neufeld.
Hi.
Our Promontory campus pastor.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start? July 1st?
July 1st was my first official day. Yeah.
And things are ramping up.
Things
for
are
you.
Coming up quick. Yeah.
Fast.
Quick.
Fast.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Very exciting. So I thought what we could do is put you on the spot and just get to know you a little bit. One of the things I've always loved about Central, I noticed this from the start. Day one, when Emily and I just kind of incognito attended a Sunday service, we're like, this place is different. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And what was distinct about it was this is a church that truly feels like family. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So we need to strive to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And family know each other and they love mm-hmm. each other and they kind of walk through life with each other. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great avenue to just chat a little bit about you, just really embrace you in to the family, help people get to know you a little bit. So Jessica, mm-hmm. what's brought you to this point? Tell us just a little bit about yourself. Who you are, maybe mention the husband of yours, kiddos.
Okay. My husband and I, our first sort of weekend adventure to Central was very similar. We felt the exact same thing of feeling very much at home here pretty instantly, which is odd, which sounds strange, but it is odd to experience that. So that has always been a treasure of ours. My husband is Chris Ross, who is the children and family pastor here, which is exciting. We get to work together, which is new. Well, kind
share
of new.
An office
although,
together.
Yeah, we do. We literally share an office. And
my philosophy is if you can share a bed, you can share an office.
It's not far off, you know, it's
make it work.
Yeah. So far we're making it work. So far there hasn't been any, you know, fights or anything. So it's all good. But we have two children. Ben is 7 and Lucy is 6. And we're just excited to do ministry here together. And we're sort of this new journey in life doing this together. And but it's really exciting. And it's something that we felt over the last at least a year, if not far more, but more specifically that God has been pulling me in this direction and has been revealing this new role for me, which has been just really exciting. Also very terrifying, but mm-hmm. but very exciting to kind of to come to this place and to feel so at peace with where we are now. And I'm loving it. Mm. I do love being here. So,
and we're so glad that you've joined the team. And just from the outside looking in a little bit, observing what God's been doing in your life, I would say the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I think God's been working in your life, preparing you for this role specifically, and of course many other things in your life, just maturing you in Christ. But mm-hmm. But God's really gifted you, and I'm excited about what God might do among us in women's ministry as mm-hmm. you get to give really committed time to it and stuff.
Yeah, me too.
And so, welcome. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
I'm going to jump to Jonathan here for a bit, and then we're going to double back and talk a little bit about women's ministry. Who is this Jonathan Neufeld? John Jr. Who's John Jr.?
What's that?
Who's John Jr.?
I guess that's me for now.
Or the third.
The third.
It's like football players. You ever see that on football? They really, you know.
Oh, yeah. They
Tremper
keep it going.
Longman.
Robert Griffin.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Tremper. There you go. Theologian.
Yeah.
Theologian. There you go.
Yeah. My name is Jonathan Neufeld. I've just been here for a little over a month now at Central and just starting to to feel a bit more at home as I, you know, especially Sunday mornings when you first get here, it's always a little nerve-wracking, right? Because you don't necessarily know people. But one of the amazing things about coming to Central is just, as you guys have mentioned, like, it is family. And people have just come up, they've introduced themselves, gotten to know us, and we've just felt so accepted right from the get-go.
It's
been just fantastic, the number of people who are willing to get invested in other people. And so that's just been a huge blessing for us. And just as we are new and getting to know people, it hasn't necessarily felt like we're new, I guess. And so we've just been blessed in that sense. So
awesome.
Yeah. We've been enjoying it.
Cool. So, I mean, I've heard this story, but just share a little bit of God in the last few years, kind of working on your heart and turning really, really, the gospel sinking into your heart, into a call into vocational ministry. What's that been like in the last few years for you?
Yeah. I mean, one of the interesting things, whenever you think about this, God's always been at work longer than you've known about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, really when I start thinking, it goes back till probably about when I graduated from high school. After I graduated, I took a year off and I just decided, you know what, let's go travel, let's go somewhere far away. So I ended up in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and I was at a Bible college there for a year. And for me, I really just went with the intention to take a year off, go travel, explore, and that's all I had in mind. My plan was to come back here to BC and then pursue a medical degree, something in that field of study. And so that was my plan. God had a different one for me. And so during my time at Bible college, I started getting to know the other students who were there and started hearing their stories and started just understanding their own passion to know more about the Word of God and to know God better. And it just started sinking into my life that there are people here who are committed to knowing and proclaiming the name of Jesus. And it was just in a way that I had never seen before. So one of the guys who was on my floor, we sort of, lived, on the floor together. He was from, he's from Africa, and he had left behind his wife, two kids, in order to come here and study the Word of God so he could go home and preach. And I just remember meeting him and thinking, I have no categories for someone like you who would actually do something like that, who would go so far to be proclaiming the Word of God. And it just started burning in my own heart. As I started learning and investing more into the Bible, and just as I started reading, I thought, man, I can actually understand this. And like all the things I had been taught growing up, they actually started clicking and making sense, and I had reasons and foundations for what I believed. And so during my time there, it started growing more and more in my heart that I wanted to go back home, and I wanted to start telling people about what I had learned. And so when I got back, I started Bible studies and just talking with people at university and wherever I could find them, because I just wanted people to know about what God had done. And so that was one of the things that God just right away started leading me into ministry. And so I came back home here to BC, and I ended up going to SFU, did a Bachelor of Science there, because my plan was to head into med school. So that seemed like the right move. But really throughout that time, you know, I was just getting more and more involved in the church and mission and just really sharing my faith and teaching others. And so about halfway through that degree, I just realized God was calling me into ministry. And all of my passions, all of the things I wanted to be doing had nothing to do with medicine anymore. I still find it fascinating. It's an interesting thing to study, but it wasn't where God was leading me. So when I graduated from university, I ended up taking an internship at another church, and they ended up sending me on to seminary. So I spent the last year and a half down in the States at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. So I studied there for a while and came back here and finished off my degree online. And then we got to know one another.
That's right. We started meeting for coffee between Chilliwack and Surrey.
Yep.
Having some great conversations and the providence of God, right? Yeah. Sending you from one rainy place in the world to another rainy place in the world, Ireland, to truly solidify some things in your heart and give you a call. Really, really cool. Jessica, I think, too, you've blogged for us, which really was us just ripping off the posts that you would do on your own blog and putting them on our church blog.
Yeah.
But years ago, you started, you know, writing, I think, what's your blog's called His Grace,
My Growth. Growth. WordPress.com, yeah.
And that's exactly what God's been doing, I think, through your writing.
Yeah.
I asked you to teach a women's kind of session or a season.
Yeah.
Salt, study, and learn together this fall. So you went from...
On a really easy topic.
Yeah, easy stuff.
Just real lighthearted.
Like gender and really, marriage.
Yeah.
submission and headship and complementarity.
Yeah. You know,
just softball. Softball stuff. I just laid it up there for you and just said, hit this out of the park or like, what's the problem? But going from doing a lot of writing to doing some teaching. Mm. And just seeing God's providential hand in that, because actually many women in our women's ministry and leadership actually came to myself and a couple others and in church leadership here and said, we'd really love to have someone leading on staff in this area. And and we actually just really believe in, we're going to talk about some stuff on leadership in a little bit, but just really believe in investing well. And so one of the reasons you're here, here's a question. What's this, why women's ministry? Like, why should a church have a women's ministry?
Well, because we're half of your congregation.
I think even more.
If not more, I was going to say.
Here's a quick thing. We have, I think, 29 individuals signed up for Freedom Session, a ministry this fall. From Chilliwack, we have another 10 in Agassiz.
Right.
Mm. 29 of those 29 are women.
Oh, man. Okay, I hope the men hop
and
on
so board. I don't mean to you know, say anything negatively about men here, but it might say something of commitment level and investment a little bit in North American church these days, and certainly in ours, when it comes to who's investing well. Yeah. It is not 50-50. It's higher than that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Slightly. Or in Freedom Session cases. Extremely. So.
Yeah. And I mean that, I think men's ministry maybe needs to kick it up a notch, but.
Well, maybe men are a little bit more last minute too. I don't mean to make blanket statements.
No.
You know, I think a few registrations will come in.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, guys. Come on.
No, I think women, I think most importantly, it's really important for women to be teaching women and discipling women.
Where do you get such a thought? Where do you get such a thought?
I don't know. It's somewhere in the New Testament. There's some talk of that in Titus particularly. And we need each other. Women do. And the same goes for men, obviously. It's all the same thing. But more specifically for women, we understand each other in a way that is just going to be different. And women can speak to each other in a way that's helpful in discipleship. So it's important for that reason. And a culture in the church that has women, you know, discipling each other and teaching each other is just going to be just a more positive effect on the church. You know, the women need to be serving and the women need to be using their gifts within the church. And if there's some way that we can foster that and facilitate that and help those things and empower these women to do those things, then that's what we want to do. So that's what I desire to do. And that's why I think it's very important.
Yeah.
And we share that. And it's so for us, it's a no-brainer, worthwhile investment. And looking forward to what God does in that emphasis. Give us, this isn't meant to be a smear campaign at all.
Really?
This is an honest question, and maybe we can banter it around, the three of us a little bit. But what is the state of women's ministry general, broadly, from any kind of glance in that any of us have had?
Well, you know, I would say that
and when I say I don't mean it, I do.
I could go on and on about this topic, but I mean, I think that I think it's pretty obvious, although I don't know if that's necessarily true in general, but that women's ministry and books and devotionals that you see in books, you know, Christian bookstores, kind of the Christian culture, what's directed mostly at women is their focus is on felt needs and heart above all else. Just to put it real simplistically, I guess you can say. And so what you'll find is you'll find a lot of devotionals that are like quick 5-minute devotional to help you on your day. Right. Very, very, you know, topical style books for women and being tired, or women and being, you know, burdened, or there's a lot of that kind of very felt needs based ministry. So ministries can be that way as well. Very lighthearted in order to keep things positive and encouraging. And so the problem is that, you know, a heavy diet of that is not ultimately going to strengthen someone in their faith, because what we really need is the depth of the gospel and all of its nuance to speak to those needs. And so we actually need to know the full scope of Scripture.
Yeah.
We actually need to, as women, read the book of Judges and read the bloody stuff and go there, you know, where Scripture goes, and not just stick to the pink verses or, you know, song, you know, Proverbs 31 and Esther, and then stick there because that's all the woman stuff. Actually, the full counsel of God is for males and females. And so that's what I'm passionate about, is about seeing women being discipled in all of Scripture.
And then it's through, it's not that having a good series or good teaching on mothering or as a wife or yada, 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 isn't important. But what you're saying is, what's first and foremost, what's primary, is we need to put on those biblical lenses that see the whole counsel of God, that those gospel lenses to see mothering rightly. And then let's dive into some of those things, but having that depth and clarity to see from that vantage point first is what you're saying too. And and if we begin and end on God's word without getting super specific into women's issues per se, it's still women's ministry. It's still like critical ministry, primary. That's good.
Good. And helping women to be able to pick up their own Bible and read those hard texts and know how to sort of handle them, right? So it's a lot of just training in that area.
You don't have to look far at some of the content geared towards women and geared towards men to see that a lot of the content is, it's almost like a cultural shtick. And then with a little bit of Bible verse here and there. So the world will say, well, manliness is an octagon and a Harley and meat and hunting. And so we're going to make a men's Bible and it's camo.
We're going to talk a lot about bacon.
All you're doing is capitulating. Bacon scented Bible for men.
I'm sure it's out there.
This is wrong in every single way. But that's what, it's capitulating to a cultural version of masculinity. And yes, we can talk about strength as men. It's just that the Bible, the gospel, these are going to absolutely change our definition of manly strength. Is there a manly strength in the Word of God? Yeah. The Bible has a lot to say about that, but it's not going to be a cultural capitulating version. It's going to be a totally reoriented, gospel saturated. It's going to look like sacrifice more than it's going to look like bravado and yada, yada, yada. And the same goes for women's ministry wow, this Bible looks like a cookbook. Isn't that sweet? Like insulting. And it's like all of these things. It's like, this is so sad. It sells everything short. And so I'm really proud of the fact, Jessica, that you're on our team, because you lead with the gospel, you lead with his word. And I'm really excited that we're not going to fall into any of those pits with what God's called you to, and see that in you. And really excited to champion your ministry and see God use it. So we love and are so thankful for the women in our church.
They're awesome.
It's not simply you as the investment into them, but as a portion of that, and our deep desire to love our women well, including training them well, supporting them well. And so thank you for being here and being a part of that. Jonathan, why in the world would we plant a campus of Central in Promontory? Mm. What are we thinking?
I mean, there's a ton of reasons that we could talk about. Just even the fact that the school came to us and said, hey, would you be interested in planting a church? I mean, that's already a fantastic open door. Yeah. But the real reason we want to go there is because we want to see people changed by the gospel. We want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We want to see people on the hill actually understanding what Jesus has done, what he's done for them, their great need, and come to find their only true and living hope in Jesus Christ. And so, I mean, that's the entire reason of why we exist as a church, is to see people come to know that, to grow in their faith, to deepen in their relationship with God, to pursue him. And so we want to say, hey, here's an area where there isn't a church. Mm-hmm. There's no church up on Promontory. And that's an awesome opportunity for us to go there, to be reaching out into that community. The Promontory is just continually growing. Yes. I mean, every time you go up there, it seems like there's a new house, there's a new subdivision, whatever.
Or the streets.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's just a fantastic opportunity. Let's get in there and let's start reaching out with the gospel, because that's what we're all about here. And so, it's an awesome opportunity to head up there to Promontory.
So what's been happening lately as we've been gearing up?
Yeah. So we've done a number of different things. We've done some launch meetings, just sort of getting our core team together, understanding the vision of what we're going to be doing up there in Promontory. We've done some just, you know, casual events, sort of barbecues and things. And actually, it's turned out to be a great opportunity just to be in the community, to be able to just engage with people, even as they pass by and they say, what are you guys doing? What's happening here? And just to have that sort of community presence. And so that's already been really good. And we're gearing up for our launch here, and so we're doing some training nights and things like that. And so September 10th, that's our kickoff date. I mean, it's coming fast. And so, there's lots to do, lots to put together, and it's exciting, right? These are kind of the exciting things where, there's lots to do and there's lots to get done before the 10th, but man, that it's a great work to be able to be a part of that.
It so is, and Central as a whole, we all get to celebrate this and we're all in on this. Yeah. It was a number of months ago now that we had a congregational meeting asking the question, do you sense the Lord leading us to plant these campuses in Promontory and Lake Erock?
Yeah.
Because we recognize, look, we can't just hire a campus pastor and decide as a few leaders, we should do this. Because it takes everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it so takes some, it takes some to go.
Mm-hmm.
And by God's grace, we praise him for it. We have, what, 50, over 50?
We have 50 adults.
Adults.
Wow. So it's probably another 30 or so kids coming as well. And
committed to our launch team.
Yeah.
Committed to serving routinely, sacrificially there. That's amazing. See, like that's what it takes. It's the whole church saying, we're called to this. And that's a real affirmation that, that as a church, we've caught that. And if we stay in Chilliwack or in Agassiz, we're still a part of the work, because we're celebrating the fact that 50 from among us are, or more, are going there.
Yeah.
And they're excellent people who have been serving in these other campuses, especially in Chilliwack. And so we need to shore that up as well. So by staying and giving ourselves to the work of ministry, we're supporting the work up in Promontory as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who are willing to stay here and serve are allowing other people to go up there and serve, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it takes a body. And so that's one of the glorious things we have as the church, is that we are meant to work together. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just an awesome picture as we do this to see that work together.
Yeah, I'm so proud of our church for just the way they've rallied around it and caught it, whether they're goers or stayers or investors and all the above, right? So it's really, really great. So, Jonathan, what would you say to me if I was a part of Central and decided, you know what, Promontory Campus launches September 10th. We live closer to it. We should just start going there then.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's great. Where are you going to be serving? Where are you looking to get involved?
No, I don't think you understand. We just like to come 10 minutes late and just have someone set up an extra row for us. And then go.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of rows set up here, and so that's kind of a good place.
No.
I, I want people to be able to come, but come with an attitude to serve. So one of the things we're doing for our training night, we're doing that tonight, actually. We're going to be asking all of our volunteers, whenever they show up, wherever they're showing up in their service area, you come with a mindset to be serving. So you might be on the welcome team, but you might show up and there's not, you know, there's a few chairs that need to be set up. That's your job. You're a part of the team. And so whether you're serving in kids or you're serving in welcome or setup, whatever, you are looking for places to serve. That's and right. we really want that to be just a part of our DNA, part of our core as we head up there. We are all there to be serving. Whether you're necessarily on shift, off shift, whatever area you're in, you're there to be serving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not just a lays back and I'll kind of enjoy the show kind of thing, because that's never what church is meant to
that's
be.
That's right.
Whether you're at Promontory or here in Chilliwack or in Agassiz, it doesn't matter. You're not meant to just sit and be a consumer within the church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not what you're called to do.
And I make those comments a little tongue-in-cheek and all of that. Mm-hmm. And yet I know, we all know this, there are seasons in our lives where we don't feel like we have the margin, the capacity, mentally, physically, even in a spiritual place, like we can serve routinely in the church for a season. Mm. We all understand that. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. But but the word would be then Promontory isn't the spot to be in this season, just because we're asking those of Central, we're asking the ones who go to dig in and serve like 2 to 4 times a month, just that have that missionary mindset that this is part of my weekly routine. I'm going to give time to this so that we can reach the community. And so we're asking that, recognizing and saying, and there's no defeatist kind of view of it at all, but saying, hey, please stay in Chilliwack if you're not in a spot to have that capacity, just because it's easier. We have chairs set up here already. Mm-hmm. It's easier for you to slip into one of those in this season, in this time, totally respect it, than to need to set some up. We'd like those empty chairs to be for those in the neighborhood who have never been to church, haven't been to church in years, or whatever, and be able to have a team that rally around that with hospitality and hard work and live in that mission there. So anyways, just another word there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to hurt or discourage anybody, but what we can optically, what we're just trying to do is not have a culture of, well, I live on the Sardis side, so I'll go to Promontory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had a really intentional ramp up here and saying those who are going are those who have signed a covenant to be on our launch team and get what that means and are committed to the cause. And we are thankful that there has been huge response in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what we're doing is a little bit idiotic in terms of like what in the world are? Why are we stretching ourselves so thin? Like that's a dumb move. Like why in a town where we already have an established church are we planting across town? Like that could get messy. That could be complicated. Like that's, and you're sending people there. You're thinning things out. You're planting in Lake Erock. Where is that? Or like why? Or there's a church that has a remnant of people that have been so faithful and yet are tired. And like that sounds like a lot of hard work. And like that might be tough. That might not go well. Like, why are you pouring resources into that? In fact, we had somebody assessing the building out in Lake Erock the other day, and they're like, who's going to pay the bill for this new roof that it needs? And we're like, well, we are. And they're like, why is your church pouring money into this place? And well, the reason is because we believe in the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We believe that wherever there are people, we can send gospel proclaiming, community engaging, Jesus loving, Bible believing people. And God has given us, though it's sacrificial, though it costs us, though it doesn't make a ton of sense, we could have put all of that money into building, making this building we have bigger, and nicer, and all of those kinds of things. But there's just this sense that the Lord is calling us out. Mm-hmm. I say idiotic because it does mean like it's putting a fire under us in terms of. There is a lot of work to do. And so we are recognizing that the part of that work is developing leaders. Yeah. We're stretching ourselves, and therefore mm-hmm. we need to build up the body. And so I want to talk a little bit about leadership development. Mm-hmm. Even as we talk leadership development, like we can look at that in different ways. What does leadership development look like in the church? Like, what would you guys say that is?
For me, it feels I feel like it's to more intentionally equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's to fulfill that, that scripture tells us that we ought to do. And so, that's something that can be hard to do on a Sunday morning. I think that there is equipping that happens Sunday morning, and there ought to be. Mm-hmm. We live in a generation where there's a lot of biblical illiteracy, and there's a lot of confusion. And this is even among the Christians in our churches. And so, I see it specifically to women's ministry is just trying to fulfill that call best within our ministries into the leaders that we see have a gift for leadership. And then helping them, equipping them better so that they can experience a confidence in the word to then lead others. And so that just, furthers ministry so much more. It just mm-hmm. makes the scope so much wider in terms of what we're certainly able to do. And then it also gives, it just gives people confidence to be able to lead in a way that some of them probably don't think they can at the moment. So that's how I see it, very simply.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just goes even into just what we're doing as a church in terms of discipling people, right? We're wanting people to be growing in their faith, to be maturing in their walk with God. Yep. And so part of that, it just comes in terms of developing leaders. And so just taking, whatever capacity that might be, that doesn't look the same for every person, but you're called on to be taking on these sort of leadership areas, whether that's in sort of life groups or even just in some of the service areas, some of our kids directors and things like that, and just helping others in their faith as you grow in yours, right? And it's just this, I mean, my mind goes to, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul says to Timothy, you go and you train the next generation so they can train the next ones after that, right? It's this multi-generational, leadership style. Mm-hmm. And it's what we are called to do as the church. And so that's one of the great things we have, just this opportunity to be doing with this leadership lab, is just to be saying, hey, let's take an intentional step in developing those next leaders so they can pass it on as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned the leadership labs. There's a model we're going to try on this coming year. Mm-hmm. This last year at Central, was a year where we really discovered that the Lord is calling us to plant more campuses. Mm. And so I think the natural next step, and I think a real emphasis of this coming year for us, is, well, we want to develop leaders. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to take a couple approaches on that. The one is our leadership labs. Just to give a little bit of insight on what that looks like, we're inviting everybody who leads at Central, not necessarily serves in all categories, but leads, life group leaders, youth leaders, our community care team who do visitation and real great deacon work there, women's leaders, men's leaders, worship leaders. So many, many people involved in our church, and bring them together monthly, starting beginning of October, gather them together monthly for what we call a leadership lab. And we've been asking the question internally as a team is, well, what are the core competencies, or put another way, like ministry tools, ministry equipping, that really are vital for those who lead in the church, and let's spend time then on those, equipping our people to lead well. So I've used this analogy before because I just think it's really easy to see, is, so Pastor Gary and I are tasked with pastoring every adult at Central. I'll get a lot of Starbucks like stars on my app, but we won't make a dent.
No.
And we'll be highly ineffective.
Yeah.
And ultimately we'll put a very low ceiling on our capacity to shepherd here. Mm. But what if, you know, the majority of the adults at Central were in a life group, mm-hmm. and we invested heavily in the life group leaders? And so if our life group leaders felt trained and equipped and confident in their in what God's been growing them in that maturing in Christ and in giftings, well, then the 10 or 12 in their care, they become these quasi-shepherds of these people. And certainly there are certain issues that come along, you know, a divorce or difficulty in a marriage, mm-hmm. or some major life issues. And we avail ourselves as a pastoral team, of course, and as elders, mm-hmm. To step in and walk beside and care for some of those complexities. But that front lines in the living room together every week, walking through life together, we just think that having life groups trained and empowered, yeah. mm-hmm. to say, hey, we want to give you those the capacity to love well, lead well, nurture, care for. Well, now we have a limitless ability to grow and to multiply and nonetheless be investing in people well at every turn. So, yeah. So that's an example of why we think it matters. Mm. So, I mean, you mentioned, 1 Timothy, was 1 Timothy 2?
2 Timothy.
2 Timothy 2.
Yeah.
And also in Colossians 1, I've got it open here, but the Apostle Paul says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we can present everyone mature in Christ. The Sunday morning preaching absolutely is a component of that, presenting people mature in Christ. But teaching goes beyond that as well, into these other areas, and so we want to equip people well for those places because we want to present everyone mature in Christ. Jesus says the same thing in the Great Commission. Yes, baptize everyone. In other words, lead people to Christ and baptize them as new believers, but teaching them everything that I've commanded. Mm-hmm. So there is this this ongoing, rich, dense ministry of teaching all that Christ has commanded as well. Mm-hmm. And so we see that as a real component. So, I mean, we've been talking a little bit about leadership labs together. What are you seeing as opportunities that we have for those who lead among us here at Central that this should help them in? Maybe that hasn't been said. Yeah, we can expand. So for our listeners, tease them a little bit with what might be beneficial to coming out to these labs here this coming year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think one of the things that I think is just going to be so helpful across the board, kind of whatever ministry area you might be in, is just we're going to do some, at least a week, probably more, just in terms of studying the Bible, understanding it, right? If this is sort of our foundation of everything that we're going to do, if we want to be leading, we got to know that foundation. We got to have a strong understanding of how we can work through it. Even if, you can't necessarily, you haven't memorized the whole Bible, you don't know exactly where everything is, you know how to be finding it, how to study your Bible, how to work through some of those issues. And so having just that that knowledge, that understanding, that skill set is a huge benefit as you lead life groups, wherever it is, to be able to turn to the scriptures, say, let's actually walk through the Word of God together. Mm. That's a big one for me. Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward, and I hope that it's that what you just said, Jonathan, will help everyone be more confident in their evangelism in their communities, because I think that a lot of times that's what keeps us from ministering to others and to non-Christians, is that we feel like we don't know much about scripture. Yeah. We don't even know how to open the Word and really look at it for ourselves. And so that very basic sort of understanding, I think, is, and I hope and pray that it will sort of launch us into more of a confidence to be able to go out and actually speak about it with other people. So I think that piece of it will definitely be taught, I think, in these labs and spoken about. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, our prayer is that this isn't another thing on the calendar. We're working really hard in all of our ministries to accommodate space and time for something like a leadership lab on a monthly basis by maybe simplifying some of the other things we're doing. And so our hope is that after, coming to one or two of these labs, for those who are leaders in our church or exploring doing that, everybody's welcome to come. Our hope is that our people will find this very quickly as a great gift, not another thing they need to come and do, but that because it's for our leaders. We love them. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for you. And so we want to invest in you like crazy, and and allow that to be a gift in your life. Yeah. One last little tag on is we're doing a leadership lab. We're also doing something else you'll probably see around called a preaching lab.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you and I are going to kind of try and tackle this together. We've got a few people registered already. There's still more time.
Mm-hmm.
But give us the gist of why we'd do a preaching lab. And what it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of just even a further extension of some of our leader development, especially in the area of preaching. As we kind of grow, there's, as a church and campuses, you know, there's more opportunity. And so we just feel like that's an awesome opportunity to be investing in our leaders, and specifically for this one in terms of preaching and actually being able to rightly handle the Word of God and to proclaim it in a way that is both sort of compelling and winsome, but also just in a way that is, you know, faithful to the Word of God. And so preaching is one of my huge passions. And so, I mean, that's just, I'm overjoyed to be able to do this sort of stuff.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I've done these kinds of preaching labs. I've been the subject. And so it's nice to be on the other side and to be able to kind of be the instructor a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah,
are you gonna recycle all the great one-liners that you heard gave in the past? You
know? Yeah, just keep a list.
Have
of them
at the ready.
Yeah.
It's gonna be really neat. Like, we recognize that we gather large groups outside of even the Sunday gathering quite often. The youth ministry once a month get the entire youth ministry together, junior and senior high, quite a crowd, and we want to have effective teaching there. Pastor John Cornelison does a great job, but he loves to have others shore that up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, if you just think maybe you'd like to even speak towards youth, like, that's an opportunity. Same thing with our women's ministry. Mm-hmm. Like I said, more than half the adults at Central are women.
Yeah.
And you're going to be gathering them routinely. And there's just opportunity to speak well.
Yeah.
And we don't just automatically, we're not out of the gate excellent public communicators.
No.
It is a craft.
Yeah.
It is challenging. Mm-hmm. We learn by trying it on, doing it often. Mm-hmm. And so the preaching lab's an opportunity if you'd like to be perhaps do some speaking in women's ministry.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great opportunity to be trained how, and then get a couple chances at it within the preaching lab, receive some evaluation. We will be loving, but we will probably show you opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
And same thing with the fact that very soon we're going to have four campuses, and we don't want it to just be the vocational pastors who preach the word. We want to always be raising up others. We want to become an outpost of sending preachers everywhere and other places. And so we want to raise others up, have lay leaders among us who contribute in the pulpit in all of the places. Philosophically, we don't want to show video of me in every place.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. nobody needs that. And so we want to have live preachers in four places every week. And so we want to make the investment and see people, we believe, as Christians, that you give your life to Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, who gifts and has many gifts to give, varying gifts, all for the good of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of us, that's the gift of teaching, preaching. And we just know there's more than two among us in a thousand. So so we look forward to seeing growth there as well. So there's a bit about Preaching Lab, a bit about Leadership Lab. Jessica Ross, Jonathan Neufeld, thanks for your time today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get to know you a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for you and praying for you like crazy for these ministries you're endeavoring on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Talk to you next time, everybody.